This is Shambhala Sun digital editor Rod Mead Sperry, and you're listening to Shambhala Sun Audio. In this second installment of my conversation with Brad Warner, Zen teacher and author of Sex, Sin, and Zen, Warner gets personal, talking about how he relates to the challenge of being a Buddhist teacher and author, especially one with such an uncommon voice. I wanted to go into a couple of other questions, if you're game.
Sure.
You talked a little bit about the fact that your books don't really sell as much as these books that sort of offer a more get enlightened quick prescription.
Yeah.
The fact is that in very little time, I've known you since 2003 when your first book came out, in very little time for a Zen priest or Zen master, which I know you're a little hesitant to identify yourself as, you've amassed quite a lot of press in very little time, and and you're pretty young considering. This is your fourth book. Are you surprised that you've had as much coverage? Are you surprised when you find yourself, say, being interviewed on television?
It's interesting because, you know, I've started to see that there's a Brad Warner out there who I don't really understand any better than anybody else is. There's this sort of image that people have. It kind of comes up when people will come to a lecture or a talk, you know, I'll do, and say, wow, you're nothing like you are in your books when you're in person, and I feel like I'm exactly the same. But I think people, you know, they read a book, and they're reading this, like, shouting voice, you know, haranguing them, you know, when they're sort of imagining what I talk like. And then when they see I don't talk like that, they're like, ooh, that's so different. But I'm saying the same things, you know, as I say in the books, just in this sort of nice way. But, yeah, I don't know. I think it's interesting that people want to know, and I hope that what they want to know about is Zen, you know.
Well, you surely are aware that you have a personality that, for better or for worse, people are going to latch onto, and my argument is that it would be for better.
Yeah, well, you'd hope so, but yeah, I mean, I tend to be this sort of argumentative, mean guy in writing, or people think I'm that, but I'm not really that. I feel like all I do. It's kind of funny that people read my books because I feel like all I'm doing is pointing out stuff that's really obvious. And I go, you know, sometimes I see that and go, well, why is anybody reading this? Because it's so obvious. But maybe it's not obvious. And I think back, and a lot of the stuff, especially the stuff I'm putting in the new book, wasn't obvious to me when I started the practice. And it was a big deal, you know, like just a simple thing. Can I masturbate? If I'm into this Buddhism, I better not masturbate anymore. You know, it's like these things that you get latched on to, and then you don't know what it is until you go through the process for years and years, and then you go, oh, yeah, well, masturbation, that's no big deal.
Well, so now at this point, now that you kind of have, you have a persona that is rightly or wrongly attributed to you, and you do get out there in the media, I'm wondering to what degree can having the media's ear help or hinder your agenda as a teacher?
It does both. It helps in that it kind of gets the message out to the people, but it hinders in that it becomes kind of, I'll tell you, just like a nuts and bolts thing. When I used to do these weekly Zazen meetings in Santa Monica, California, which is right next to Los Angeles, which is, you know, second biggest city in the United States, my books would be in every bookstore. And when I gave a talk, even in Los Angeles, I'd get a healthy, you know, group of people to come. But when it came to actually doing Zazen on a Saturday morning at 10 o'clock, which I think is a very easy time, you know, you'd get like 10 people. So the difference between the number of people who come and hear a talk about Buddhism or read a book about Buddhism and the amount of people who will actually sit with you, there's a big difference. So, you know, as long as I insist on the meditation practice, I think I'm all right. You know, no cult will ever develop because they'll be like, oh God, we have to sit? You know, we have to sit and look at a wall for 40 minutes? No way. I want to do drugs and have sex. You know, that comes later. No, I'm just kidding. I'm kidding.
Thank you very much, Brad, for speaking to me. It's nice to let people get a different sense of who you are. I think that the book is really helpful, and you know, the language can get intense, but that's how life is, right?
Yeah. You know, why pretend that people talk differently, you know, from how they really talk these days? And 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 if there's a certain group of people who are offended by that, well, there's a whole shelf full of books where those words don't appear, so they can go get those, and that's fine too.
That was Brad Warner, Soto Zen priest and teacher, and author of Sex, Sin, and Zen, in the second installment of my Shambhala-san audio interview with him. This is Rod Meat Sperry. Thanks, as always, for listening to Shambhala-san Audio.